Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and welcome to Kingdom Daughters, Royal Daughters. My God, with Deborah O'Rose, bless the name of the Lord. I want to welcome you far and near. God bless. Let's go ahead and start a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this grand opportunity to glorify your name. God, you're the author of life. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the head and not the tail. We thank you, God. You made all things possible because of your love, your grace, your mercy, your power, your presence, your promises. God, who because of who you are, we give you glory. Hallelujah, God. Heavenly, we bind the devil away from us. God, we ask you to encamp ministering angels about us, angels of protection, angels of war. Bring salvation today. Be glorified even in this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you again. Welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. We have a couple of ministries you probably heard earlier. We've got Royal Daughters, Kingdom Daughters, and we have Deborah Rose. And we'll maybe get into a little bit of that later on. But right now we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is actually the subject of today's day. Today we're going to cover Cain can't. Cain can't. You guys say Cain can't. Who in the world is Cain and what can he do? My God, let's, you know what? And my subtitle, oh my Lord, tongue twisters today, is still pro-choice. Yeah. So my question to pro-choice, what do you call promoters or pro-abort promoters or promoters of pro-choice or promoters of, you know, of death. Come on. This is going to be like the truth day, truth tell it day. Tell it like it is day, not to bash, not to hurt anybody, but let's just lay it all out. Let's look at it today. Amen. There's a lot of Bible scriptures. I want you guys to kind of follow along with me as we seek the Lord concerning these things. Amen. The Bible says, let us reason together. So let's go before the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lord and the Judge and see what the Lord has to say by his word. Amen. Praise the Lord, God. So we're going to be looking at Cain today. We're going to be reading Genesis 4 and 1. And I'm going to talk about that. We're going to go ahead and get started. Amen. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. All right, now that's after Abel and Cain made the sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice, amen, which was an animal sacrifice, and then the other sacrifice which Cain made came from the ground, and we know the ground was cursed, amen. I want to go ahead and read a little bit more about that. Our focus is not looking so much at the sacrifice today as we are, not specifically, because I don't have enough information on that. That's not my focus. My focus is, let's go to verse 8. Now, Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And so, again, our text is Cain has a free will, but not a right. Come on, everybody say, Cain has a free will, but not a right. Listen, just because you have the right to do so, come on, the will to do something, and everybody has a will to do it, doesn't mean I have the right to do it. There's all kinds of free agents around here. All these people have free will. God gave Adam and Eve a free will, but Eve still chose wrong. You got a free will, but you don't have the right. The sovereign God has the right. God has given me life. Let's read some scriptures. Let's lay some foundation about who God is, and then who he is life, and him being the giver of life, and how he gives life to man. And I may get a little bit into what we can and cannot do. I'm not talking about, I don't want to get into, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. That's not the focus. Let's go into the scriptures here. Let's have the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, God, and direct us, and have your will and have your way. And so the Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. Everybody say his own image. In his own image. I think it's in the Hebrew where it says, or maybe the Greek where it says image is the word character. Amen. So he created us in his character, after his character. But then we know man fell from grace. They fell from grace. And listen, they took on the nature of Satan. They took on the characteristics of Satan. Their eyes were darkened because of sin, and only the one that could bring light to the eye was Jesus Christ, the living eternal one. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to John 1, but I'm going to stay real focused on here. So again, we're talking about, what's the answer? Still pro-choice, that's the title, come on you all. We're talking about what Cain couldn't do, what couldn't Cain do. Oh, let me slow down a little bit. And so as we begin to look at some scriptures, let's listen to how God feels about life and who God is in life. I want to lay some foundation, that's all I want to do. Let's just kind of get informed about God's heart and what God is saying about life and who God is, and then what our response is, because we're created in His image and His likeness, and those of us who are believers, we're His sons and His daughters, and how many of us know we're supposed to do like our parents, amen, and God's the perfect Father, and the Bible tells us to be imitators of God, amen, so those, keep those points in your mind as we begin to investigate and go through these text scriptures, amen, praise the Lord God, hallelujah, the Bible says, oh, Lord God, it says you have killed the author of life. That's talking about Jesus Christ, the risen one. It says you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is a true God and eternal life. Come on. Oh, these scriptures are already real, real good. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God. He's the God who was manifested. According to John 1:14, it says the Word was made flesh. And so that's Jesus Christ in the flesh. Amen. And so let's understand he was always the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was God, and he was with, in the beginning was God. Let me go to the scripture, because I don't want to misquote the Word of God. Let's go on over to the New Testament, and I have to slow down a little bit because I'm excited, you all. I'm excited, and I know when I get excited, I get talking fast. Let's see, 1 John 1, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to slow down a little bit. 1 John is way in the back. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Amen. All right, so I kind of said that by heart. And listen, I want you to look for it on your own, because I am doing some Bible thumping here. But I do want you to look for that scripture on your own, because I want to stay focused. But we need to understand who God is. Amen. Jesus Christ is life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And there's no other way to the Father but by me. Third point, hold on to it. Come on, he's the author of life. Amen. He created man in his image and in his likeness. Number three, what else would we just say about Jesus? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way to the Father but by him. And then he's the light of the world. Come on. He brings light to where all the darkness is, all the confusion is. When we're confused and we can't find our way, he said he's the way. Come on. He said that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that he would be our guide, that he'd be our helper. See, God covered all bases in Colossians 1:15-20, I believe. If I go over to Colossians 1, we got to understand that God is everything, and everything is already in him, and everything was made for him. So he won't waste time. Say, well, I'm going to go get these shoes and get this hair and get this man and get this house and get this car, and I'm going to be all right. No, everything is in him. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be opened on you. Knock to who? He's a door, too. He's a door and the gate. Come on, as you begin to study the Word, you realize that Jesus Christ is everything, just like the Bible says it. And then we'll get into pro-choice, and we'll understand that he also told us how to choose, because it's an open book test. And so we want to go ahead. Now, I am going to my favorite scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It's actually in Colossians 1. I'm asking the Lord, oh, Lord, help me find this scripture. Okay, Colossians 1:15. Let me start at 13. 13 says, listen, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image. Here we go. Here's Jesus. Listen, because he wants me to lay his foundation, we'll understand everything else comes from him. You ain't got to waste a whole bunch of time running around chasing things and wasting all the years of your life. Jesus Christ is already everything. Everything was already made for him and by him. Let's read the word. 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Come on, his job's already taken, you all. 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Listen, read 18 and 19 and 20 on your own. I just want you to understand he's everything. Get that? Everybody say God is everything. Number four, come on, we can use that as a premise. That's the A premise. God is everything. So that's your overarching theme right there. Come on, he's God is everything. That's something, come on, that's something Cain didn't know, something Cain couldn't do. Come on. Cain must have did not know. I'm talking about Cain in the Bible. Did not know, obviously. Listen, that God is everything. Remember when Cain, as you begin to read that text that I mentioned earlier in Genesis, I believe it's 4 and 1, and then Cain goes on to have an attitude with God. He said, am I my brother's keeper? When we left off here when he said, now Cain said to his brother Abel, verse 8, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now, here we go. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? Come on, come on. All the pro-choicers, come on. All the people want to say, no, well, I got a free will. Yeah, Cain had a free will, but he didn't have a right, precious. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? So what are we going to say when God said, where's your brother, where's your sister? Well, no, what are we going to say? And this is what Cain said to God. I don't know, he replied, am I my brother's keeper? Come on. Uh-huh. See, this is his heart. Listen, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, come on, pro-choice, let's listen, all of us, let's listen. The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. That is the answer to the pro-choice argument. You don't got to worry about the euphemisms. You ain't got to worry about the misnomers. You ain't got to worry about the misnamers, all the lies of the devil, the deceptions, and the deceit. Now, honey, you just put that under your feet. We got the truth. We don't need to counterfeit. Come on, we're looking at the real thing, baby. This is it right here. No, this is my body, my choice. No, your body belongs to the Holy Spirit. Everything was made for him and by him. Come on. Oh, my God. Come on, call upon the name of the Lord. You shall be saved. Listen, Jesus is Lord. His job's already taken you all. We were created in his image and in his likeness. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ wants you to have life. And so now we're on a page, and now we can flow. And so now I'm talking to people. Come on, pro-lifers. We in step with God. Our Father, what? He's a life giver, a life bringer. He created us to be what? Life givers and life bringers. Who was Eve, the mother of the living? Amen. They fell from grace. Guess what? Jesus Christ came to restore it. He brought salvation. He brought eternal life. He's a life giver, the life bringer, life in the flesh. What's our job? To bring life to others. Death ain't supposed to be entering into that. Death, God didn't even want death for human beings. He didn't even want that at all. And they tried to, they have that tree of good and evil, and that's how they fell. That's how sin entered into the world, and that's how men actually died spiritually, because they disobeyed God. And so what did God say to Cain? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. This is not to bash people and say, well, no, you had an abortion. No, God, listen, if you come to Jesus Christ, you ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin, whatever it is, abortion, whatever it is, the Lord God will forgive you, but he does not want you to what? Return to that sin. He wants you to repent, truly and honestly repent of that sin and come to him, and he will cleanse you from that sin. He wants you to turn away from that sin and turn to life. Come on, everybody say, turn to what? Turn to life and turn away from what? Turn away from the sin and turn to life, because God is all about life. He's a life giver. Amen. And so let's go a little bit more into some of these life-giving scriptures. The Bible says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's a real good scripture. Come on, here's another one. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. So, Father, we find that in the word, oh, my God, the devil is alive. We find, oh, my God, that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. God says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we know that Jesus Christ is life and life evermore. He has never changed his mind. He's never gone confused and never said, well, I can't make up my mind. I don't know. Maybe I should make a choice to know. God tells us how to choose. Everybody in Deuteronomy, I need everybody in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30. Come on. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I might start at 18. We're going to see what the Lord's going to say. All right. Deuteronomy 30, 19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. There we go right there. Verse 20, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And so we find that God is the ultimate life giver. Come on, he's the God that makes the plans. He ain't no Planned Parenthood is a Planned Parenthood lie. Jesus Christ knew me before I was even in the womb. He knew you even before you were in the womb. My God, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? Ooh, my, the Bible says, my Lord, oh God, then the Lord God formed the man of man. I'm reading. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And so in Jeremiah, I want to go to Jeremiah 29:11, because I want us to understand, honey, that God is a true parent. God is a creator. The devil is a lie. He's always trying to counterfeit and act like he's God, but he's not. He's a lying devil. He's a defeated foe. He's under your feet if you really got your authority. You know what Jesus Christ is really giving you? Come on. He took back the keys of hell in the grave, hell, death in the grave. And so I want everybody now, we're going to Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. I want to say it's, okay, it's before Ezekiel. Okay, Jeremiah 29, here, this is what God says. Come on. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. What does Planned Parenthood want to do? They want to kill your babies and wipe them out. They want to kill them. No. What did God say? Jesus told us. He made it an open book test, y'all. He told us that Satan has come. Come on. Satan, what if Satan is coming? What? Steal, kill, and destroy. What did Jesus say about him coming? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What did God say in the very beginning? God is the author of life. God is the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, he tells us already who he is. And then he tells us, what else did he tell us? Then he tells us that he's everything. Everything is in him, is for him and made for him and by him. He created man in his image and his likeness. He loves mankind. He created us for a relationship and fellowship with him. We're representatives of him. We're the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the ultimate light. We're to be representatives of him. A light on the hill. We need to be shining for the world to bring what? Bring salvation, to bring life, to bring hope. That's our call. At no point does God tell us to kill anybody. Because God says, do not murder. So why would he go against his own word? Why would he go against his own rule? He said, do not murder. Okay? And we want to go into the real particulars. I'm not going to even go into the particulars. I can try to go there. I'm not going to go there. But what about this and what about that? Now, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? I said we're going to investigate what Jesus says, what God says. Okay, not what that's what the devil does. He always said, but did God really say? That's a matter of fact, that's how Eve fell. Because he said to Eve in Genesis 3, the devil said this to Eve in Genesis 3, y'all. A little Bible thumping here, okay? So you guys understand how the devil works. He's going to always challenge God's word. And God is true. The devil's going to always make it say, but God really, so I'm going to read it to you guys so you guys don't know what's in here. Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty. Holy Spirit, have your way. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? And there's another translation saying, did God really say? So, you know, did God really say you can't, you know, kill your own baby? Did God really say, come on, you know, that you can't sleep around? Did God really say? You know, he's always challenged the word. That's the devil's strategy. But the Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we got to get really smart, because the playground is in the mind. The devil's going to always attack the mind, because the mind is going to control the actions of your body. So we have to renew our mind. God said for us to renew our minds. And that's found in Romans. I'm looking for Romans 12 really quick. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Get your help, Father. I'm looking for Romans 12. Amen. And God tells us in Romans 12, 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Amen. And God tells us, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we got to ask ourselves a few things. Like, number one, did we give our body to God? Did we give our life to God? Why would we let other people give their life and their body to God too? Why? God, that word is not just written just for God to be, God's just saying something off the top of his head. He said that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. See, the word is true regardless if you do it or not. If you don't do it, you get judged by it. Listen. All of us need the Holy Ghost to help us to live right. My point is, we don't have to say like, no, well, I ain't going to say the word, because if I don't say it, then that means it ain't true. No, the word is true if you believe it or not. It's still true. Truth is truth. That ain't going to change. Jesus Christ has already come to declare it. Christians have come to say what God has already said. It's art. Look, the word can't change. It's already been written. God has already said it's spoken. It's going to judge us at the end of the end, right? Saved or unsaved. So my point is this. God is telling us to make a choice. God wants us to make the right choice. It's an open book test. God tells us how to choose. So don't come to in front of me and say, well, I have a free will. You're right. You got a free will, but you don't have the right. That is for the sovereign God to determine who lives and who dies. That's not your right. And so the Bible, and then see, right, is a whole little, I want to say, we have God is life, right? And then we have the U.S. Constitution, our founding fathers who followed Judeo-Christian beliefs. No, we ain't talking about if they were perfect or not. Were you perfect or not? God still used you. So my point was that they honored the word of God. They wrote the Constitution based on the premise of their faith in God. They laid out the law to preserve life according to the preamble, right? I don't even have it in front of me. We know that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's for all men. So the right to life is for all mankind, right? And then we also know that Satan was always trying to sneak and get his sneaky self in there. And people who didn't even know God or didn't really have an understanding of the word, or maybe even they weren't educated about who they were, who God was, they like when the devil came and said, did God really say? You'd be like, oh, did he really say? See, our job as Christians really is to study the word to show ourselves approved. A worthy man that need not be ashamed but rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to divide this word. The word ain't going to never know where to say kill nobody. So that ain't, that's real plain. That's open plain for everybody to see. We even know that. I can't go kill my neighbor. God forbid. No, it ain't going to happen. You see what I'm saying? Death is going to, murder's wrong. Period. 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 God got this. Okay? So what am I saying? I'm saying that God doesn't want us to be like Cain. God doesn't want us to be like Abel's brother Cain. God doesn't want us to go in the way of Cain. God doesn't want us to go in the way of death. That's not the answer. Beep, beep, wrong choice. God wants us to go in the way of Abel. God wants us to go in the right way, the right direction, to follow his word. He is the word of life. He's the bread of life. He's the one that you ultimately seek. Hopefully, another time I'll get into the value of a woman. So, and the reason why some women, I believe, could possibly be having abortions is because of the value issue. But that's a whole another sermon. That's a whole another something message, perhaps, because I really want to get into the value of a woman and that kind of thing. But the bottom line is this: there's no reason to be pro-choice. You just need to make a choice. For real, you just need to make a choice. And then you know what? It's in the Bible. God already told us how to choose. You laid that thing out. You laid out Adam and Eve in the garden. God spoke, told them what they could do, what all they had. They can have the whole garden. He said, just don't eat of this tree, right? Gave them a choice. If they had a free will, what they do? They chose the tree, ate from it. What happened? They listened to the serpent, and they died. And we all, were in the loins of Adam. That's on mankind. That curse fell on mankind, right? We died without Christ, spiritually dead. And then what Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God did what? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, what, to redeem us and bring us back to himself. Is that simple? Is that plain? He talks about that in Romans. Romans 10 and 9. If you go over to Romans 10 and 9, I'm going to really wrap it up because I can see it coming to an end. Please have your way. God is, and I sense the Lord reaching his hands out, and I want to, I'm just going to go to Romans 10. Oh, Lord, help me find. Okay, so Romans 10, 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. So that's how we're saved, by confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amen. So that's how you are saved. You're saved by making the confession of what Jesus Christ has already done. He died on the cross for our sins. And so we each individually have to receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. I have to say that he's my personal Lord. He's my Lord and he's my Savior. And then walk in his way with the help of the Holy Spirit. He will help me. Amen. He said, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I will be saved. Amen. He said that the Holy Spirit will be my helper. It says that he works in me both to will and do of his good pleasure. But he's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father but by him. Thank you so much for listening to what Cain couldn't do, answering still pro-choice. Come on. And the reality is God wants you to make a choice, but he wants you to make the right choice, the choice of life. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in on today. God bless.